Please turn in your New Testaments to 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to look at verses 13 and 14 in our time of instruction today. 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14, and this is the very Word of God. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and in the love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, would you open our minds and our hearts to your word and the importance of your word for growth in grace and for ministry. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I read a book that I really thought was insightful. The book is called The E-Myth. And the E stands for entrepreneur. The book was by Michael Gerber. And Michael Gerber basically said this. He said, you know, the reason so many small businesses fail is because a lot of people who start them assume that everybody can be an E, an entrepreneur. And it's just not true. And at the time that he wrote this book, and I assume that it's very similar now, 9 out of 10 new businesses in the United States failed. And so, you know, it turns out that just because somebody can do something well doesn't necessarily mean they've got the skills to turn that into a brand new business, to have the idea and the drive and the talent and the ability to make connections to create something out of nothing that turns out to be a thriving small business. And Gerber went on to say in this book that these horrible statistics of 9 out of 10 can be reversed. And he was kind of reaching out to people who wanted their own business. Our economy has always been based on small businesses here in the United States. And he said, okay, 9 out of 10 small businesses fail, but 7 out of 10 small businesses succeed under a different rubric. And that is what is called a franchise. What is a franchise? He says, you want to start a business and you don't have the gifts to come up with it all and make it all happen and be that guy or that gal. Why don't you start a franchise? A franchise means you don't have to be the entrepreneur, because a pattern that is demonstrated to be successful has already been set up. All the processes have been set up. And in a franchise, the idea is that you take the pattern. You don't deviate from the pattern. All right. I remember when the Chick-fil-A opened in Madison. I've been here quite a while, you can tell. And I went up there, and we were all, and the president, Kathy, not the older one, the son, you know, who's the president now, the other one, the founder died, he showed up. So the big guy was there, and it was this big moment. And it was amazing. And he started talking about the values of Chick-fil-A, the process of Chick-fil-A, how Chick-fil-A cared about the company, and particularly how Chick-fil-A made great chicken sandwiches. And they do. And it doesn't matter what time of day you go into a Chick-fil-A, it is the same sandwich, and it's great. Fried, not grilled. And anyway, but here's the point about, and you're looking at me going, you better do grilled, dude. the point is you don't get a franchise from Chick-fil-A and get licensed by Chick-fil-A and then start messing with the sandwiches. You don't like throw pastrami or olives on a Chick-fil-A sandwich. You don't just start messing with the processes. They are very set. If you start messing with it, you won't be called a Chick-fil-A very long. But if you serve Chick-fil-A sandwiches according to the winning pattern, there will be cars wrapped around the building at the drive-in window. So what does this have to do with 2 Timothy 1, 13 and 14? Well, the point is that our faith is not one of those make it up as you go along kind of things either. When it comes to the truth The real truth of our faith, the church is a franchise. It's not something we reinvent. It's not something we have to come up with from generation to generation. There is a pattern given to us by the apostles. It's a franchise. And this pattern is called in our text the pattern of sound words. Other translations call it the pattern of sound doctrine or the pattern of sound teaching. And the point here in this text is that you keep the pattern. And if you lose the pattern, you have lost the faith once delivered to the apostles. Calling some new idea Christianity does not make it Christianity. Calling some mixture of Christian-esque things with other religions and mashing it all together does not make it Christianity. Christianity has been set. The doctrine, the teaching of basic Christianity, classic Christianity, historic Christianity is not up for grabs. It is the pattern of sound doctrine that the apostles gave us and that we ourselves must preserve. Paul put it this way. And by the way, a lot of the Christianity that people are rejecting in the world today is not Christianity. All this, you better be good to get so God will love you, and you better do this, and you better do this so that you'll be okay with God. That's not Christianity. I don't know what that is. It's just legalism. It's just works religion. But it's not Christianity. Hold fast, Paul says, to the pattern of sound teaching that you heard from me, Timothy, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So, to understand this passage, what I'd like to do is just look at the verbs. That's like the action words. That's what we're supposed to do. And then the prepositional phrases, which tells us how we're supposed to do this. So let's look at the verbs and the prepositions. The verbs are hold fast, follow, and guard. All right, those are the verbs. That's what we're supposed to do. Hold fast and guard. So verse 13, follow, hold fast to the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me. NIV says, keep the pattern of sound words. The Greek word here for pattern or form or the standard has the meaning of a sketch or an outline. Isn't that interesting? It kind of has the meaning of an outline of doctrine. And it says, hold fast to the pattern of sound doctrine that you heard from me. And so we're in the middle of this thing where Paul, if you saw the picture on the board about the race, Paul is handing the baton of leadership and teaching in the church to Timothy. And that baton that he is handing today is this pattern of sound words. 15 years together, Paul and Timothy, this is the person he's closest to. He wants to make certain that Timothy has this basic outline, like the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, like the bodily crucifixion, the actual crucifixion of Jesus in our place, like the bodily actual resurrection in our place so that the risen Christ can give us life, like the Holy Spirit being sent from the Father and the Son, like the sinfulness of man, and that salvation is not by works, but by the grace of God sent to us through Christ and Christ's work on our behalf that we can trust in rather than trusting in our own works to be accepted before a holy God. When you lose that pattern, you have lost Christianity. So, let me ask this question. I think you're kind of getting this, I hope. But why do we need this outline of the faith when we've got the whole Bible? In 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired, God-breathed, and all Scripture is useful. And we're going to get to that in a few chapters, and that's a great passage on the Bible. But here we have an outline of sound doctrine. I tell you where we can kind of see a parallel in the Scriptures is Paul's teaching in Ephesians 6 on what's called the full armor of God. You know, God puts us in this armor so we can stand in the grace of Jesus and we can follow Him, and the Lord can protect us and use us. But I don't know if you've ever looked at that list, and I won't read the whole list of the full armor of God right now, but there's two pieces of this armor that have to do with the Word of God. And what the question is, why do we need two? The first is, verse 14, put the belt of truth of Ephesians 6. Put the belt of truth around your waist. That's verse 14. And then verse standing firm with the belt of truth around your waist. Verse 17 of Ephesians 6 in that list of the full armor of God is take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I mean, why do we need two? Why don't we just have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Don't you think that's a good question? Why is this pattern of sound doctrine so important to Paul? What is the difference between the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, or the pattern of sound doctrine and the scriptures that are all inspired? Well, the belt of truth and the pattern of sound doctrine in our text is a concise understanding of biblical teaching. It's a concise understanding of all the themes of biblical teaching. Why do you need that? Well, let's say that you put your trust in Jesus today. You came to the end of the road of relying on yourself and always having to wonder whether you were acceptable before God, and you have put your trust in what Christ has done for you, and you know that God has forgiven you based on His works and not yours. You know you belong to Him, but you've never read the Bible. And how long would it take you to read the Bible? And how smart would you have to be to remember all the themes of the Bible? Because the Bible's not laid out like a textbook, just in themes. Wouldn't it be helpful, even in reading the Bible, if you had a concise outline of all the Bible teaches and why it's important? So that then you could read the Bible and you say, oh, I understand God's a sovereign God. I understand God's a holy God. I understand who Christ is, why He came, from this concise outline. I get that. You see, we could learn that immediately. That's what's important about the pattern of sound doctrine. It undergirds us, it comes from Scripture, and it helps us understand Scripture. And the word it's sound doctrine, or sound, the pattern of sound teaching. And you know what the word sound here means? It means healthy. And so it's not just like God is saying, you just got to get the right thing. It's not like it's just about the right answers. He's saying that what is actually true about God is important to us in the fact that when we know God and when we live by the liberating truth of God, there is spiritual health and wholeness. God wants us to be healthy. We lost the garden because of sin, and God is giving us grace, and God is giving us relationship, and God is giving us understanding so that health can come into our lives. Don't you love that? That this isn't just about doctrine and having it right. It's about our health. It's about this relationship with God. And any deviation from this pattern is infectious. It's diseased. It's harmful. And Paul says that you and I are to hold fast. That's the verb. Hold fast to the pattern so that we can enjoy spiritual health and promote what is true and beautiful and healthy in the church and in the world. The faith once delivered to the apostles. You know, today we live in a conservative church culture, in the evangelical church, in the conservative church, and that kind of in the more right-leaning wing of that evangelical church. We live in a church culture that often exalts the inerrancy of Scripture. All Scripture is inspired and God breathed, therefore it is perfect. The law, we read earlier, the law of the Lord is perfect. And so we exalt the inerrancy of Scripture, but we're losing the pattern of sound doctrine. And y'all understand, this is key. You see, there's a great appreciation for the Bible, but who can understand it? Who can interpret it? It's a big book Where do you even start? Well, in the past and all through history, believers have been given the pattern of sound doctrine so that we can understand the themes of the faith, so that we can come to the Scriptures and have a lens of scriptural truth that's brought out in terms of theme, in terms of subject, in terms of what we need to know, so that when we read the whole flow of Scripture, this becomes apparent. You see, the pattern of sound words are very important, because you can believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, and Scripture can feel quite off limits to your ability. It is our job in the church to teach sound doctrine, so that we together might understand and mine together the unsearchable riches of God's grace and the truths that we could spend the rest of our lives studying and never come to the bottom of in the Holy Scriptures. And so the first verb is hold fast, keep, and follow the faith once given to the apostles, now given to you. Hold fast. The second verb is guard. Guard. Verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So this pattern of truth here of sound doctrine is also called the good deposit. And it's a little bit different because, and this means literally the precious thing. The precious thing given to us. The good deposit of truth given to us. By the way, one of the ways we encourage parents, and we're not in charge of where our children are spiritually, we just love them, bring them up in the faith once delivered, right? And we can't save our children, and we can't be in charge of everything going on in our children's lives, but there have been times, as there have been some children that have been, you know, prodigal, that I've said, you know, I've watched you raise your children, and this isn't about outcomes, it's about faithfulness in the process. And I've said over and over, you have given your children the good deposit. You have trained them up in the way that they should go. And you need to trust in God's Word and in the power of God's Word that is in the life of your child. And trust in God who can do all things, the good deposit. But we are to guard the good deposit, because the good deposit is this outline. And the reason it's the good deposit, it explains the gospel. It's not just information about God. It explains Christ in the Scriptures. It explains the relationship. It's saying, guard the faith once given to the apostles, and the faith once given can be summed up in the word gospel. In Christ, and God's holiness and His love through Christ and relationship through Christ. It is the good deposit, and we are to tenaciously guard it. Look, when it comes to the pattern of sound words that we keep, that we hold fast to, and the good deposit that we guard, there are many ways we can apply those truths to a contemporary, to a culture now. We're not saying that you got to get stuck in some century or another to be faithful to God. In fact, you know, that's not what we believe. It's the faith once given to the apostles. Yes, in charity. Yes, in creativity. We can apply the gospel, apply the basic doctrine to what is going on now in our culture without bending that truth one bit. No. When it comes to the good deposit, we must be, and the faith once, we must be as rigid as a beef eater at Buckingham Palace. We must be, guard it like you would guard $1 million deposit in a bank. And the banker must guard and must keep people out of that money. This is serious, and this is worth so much more than any amount of money. The good deposit has always been entrusted to each generation. And the good deposit is being entrusted to us in our generation now. We must hold fast to the apostolic faith. We must guard the good deposit. Even today in the PCA, that's our denomination if you're visiting Presbyterian Church in America, and Highlands, we call ourselves an apostolic church. Not because we have apostles, capital A apostles, in our church, but because we teach and perpetuate the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42 is the beginning of a section, Acts 2:42 through 47, of what the early church looked like after the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost. It's a thumbnail sketch of the church and why the church was so effective in that culture. And you know what it begins with? It begins with these words: they continued in the apostles' doctrine. You see that? They continued in the apostles' doctrine or teaching, and so must we. Lovingly, but without apology, we have a right within the church to preserve apostolic truth in any culture. In fact, it is beyond a right. It is a command over and over of the Scriptures to hold fast to the apostolic faith, to guard the good deposit that God has, as our text says, God has entrusted to us. You know, I've realized that some people think that we in our little quarter of the kingdom of God, we get too hung up on words. Too hung up on the Bible. Too hung up on the words. You know, sometimes they call us bibliolatrous, idolatry of the Bible. Too fixated on words. They called us literalists because we doggedly keep and guard the words of sound doctrine. And I've heard the criticism of the fact that we are creedal. Don't give me those creeds. Give me Jesus. And Jesus turns out to be anything you want Jesus to be. Give me the Apostles' Creed. Give me the faith once delivered to the apostles. Give me what's true that has been handed down as a good deposit, the precious thing, from generation to generation. One scholar says, we live in a culture that rejects absolute truth. Relativism is the cry of our day. If you claim to have truth of any kind, you are arrogant. You are narrow-minded. But the truth, you see, has redemptive power. The truth has the power of God. The power of love, the power of grace, the power of redemption, the power that moves history is in this apostolic truth. And we must not be silent with the truth because it gives life to a world that desperately needs life, even if they sometimes don't know it. And in the church, we hear Jesus say to us in John chapter 17, can you hear Jesus saying this? Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. We need, in all the coming and goings of our hearts, all over the highway as we navigate living in the world, we need the pattern of sound doctrine, the good deposit. People say, you know, it's not about the words, it's about the heart attitude. You ever heard that? It's not about the words, you're just so focused, you're so narrow. It's about the heart attitude. Why can't it be about both? We say that it is about both. And that leads us to how it is that we hold fast to the pattern of sound words and how we guard the good deposit. That's the prepositions. The verbs are hold fast and guard. The prepositions tell us how. Hold fast and guard, Paul says, in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. verse 13, follow the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This is the faith and love that come out of Christ being in our lives, meaning that it's not just going to be about truth. It's going to be about living truth through faith in Jesus and the love of Christ that is in our lives. Truth transforms people. And when we hold fast to the pattern, we need to live out the faith. Because you know something? You and I can hold fast to the pattern and guard the good deposit. But when we don't live it out in faith and love, there are major problems. And so first is in faith. Faith means essentially what we look to because of what we don't have. You understand the word arrogant Christian should never be put together because we didn't do anything. All we brought to God was our sin. And Jesus took our sin upon himself and was crucified in our place. And we were given grace in spite of us, not because we were wonderful. What do we have to be arrogant about? The righteous will live by faith. Everything that's not done in faith is sin. Everything that is not acknowledging that we need God in our lives in the bigger picture. That's how Christians live. Looking to God. It is in faith. There is a humility. There is a trusting, there's a hopefulness. And as we look to God rather than ourselves, there's an energizing quality of what God does in our hearts when we have faith. Because it is God that we have faith in. You know, faith is not stagnant. Faith is not something that just gets comfortable. Faith keeps depending on God as we grow, and faith looks for God's will to be done through our lives as well as for God to work in our lives. And I tell you right now, one of the problems with the Bible-believing church is that we play it so safe. It's ridiculous. Because we say, as we say, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and we got to stand up against it, and we play defense all day long. Fine. Guard, keep. Defense. Great. And it's like one old country boy said in seminary, he said, you know, we're always defending against Satan in our end when we should be dunking it on his end of the court. But we ought to be defending. But through faith in what we don't have, in this God who's loved us, in this God whose will is kingdom, whose will is grace, whose will is love, wonderful things happen in our lives and through our lives. And it says, not only in faith, in this dependency, this humility, this expectation, do we guard and keep, but with love. That is in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ's love, the love that we need. This is the love that is in Christ. This is the love that is given to us freely by what God has done through His Son for us. And the source of what real love in our lives can be seen very clearly at the cross. And when we've put our trust in Jesus, do you realize there will never be a moment that God doesn't love you? I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor demons or things past or present nor any other thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but when I read that passage in Romans 8 at a funeral and somebody is with God and we realize that there was not a nanosecond where that person, even in the midst of horrendous sickness and the throes of all kinds of things toward the end of their life, and then in the moment of death itself, all the way through, we are loved. You have to understand that you are loved. If you can depend on God with humility and expectation, if you can realize that you are loved, then you can give love to other people. Then it's not just a matter of defending our end so that Satan won't score. Then it's a matter of holding to this doctrine, guarding this good deposit, that all of these things, in all of these things, through faith and love, God might work in our life. We are to guard the doctrine. But sometimes we guard the doctrine and we do not love the people. And I will just say this. We can simply have a hardness and a meanness. Some of the meanest people I've ever met are some of the most far right people I've ever met. I'm talking about on the spiritual scale. Because it's all about guarding. They are heavy on guarding and light on love. No. Hold fast to the pattern of sound doctrine. Guard the good deposit. In faith, in dependency, and in the love that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, there's one more preposition. One more prepositional phrase. And that is, with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Verse 14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the vital connection between this holding fast and guarding and dependence on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's enabling power to the believer to live in this world with that ancient faith, in faith and in love. By the way, in case you don't know, this is a great thought. We think great thoughts together here. The Holy Spirit cares very deeply about the Scriptures. You understand that? Because the Holy Spirit gave us the Scriptures. 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy, the Scripture, was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons we are to guard the good deposit in the power of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the giver of the good deposit. The giver of the pattern of sound doctrine. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us life and faith that is in Christ as well as that truth. It is through faith in Jesus that we are forgiven forever, that God sets His love upon us forever. You ready for this? That God adopts us. I'm talking about sinners like us that don't deserve grace, totally given, without reserve, just because of love at ultimate cost, freely to us, and we are adopted into God's family, and God moves in. God indwells us, lives within our hearts, God the Holy Spirit. That's the gift that Jesus said, that it's better that I go, for if I don't go, I can't give the Holy Spirit to you. We have the Holy Spirit living within our hearts. Will we depend upon the Holy Spirit? And you know, the Holy Spirit wants to exalt the truth of the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit wants to exalt the gospel, wants to lift up Christ in our life and before the world. The Holy Spirit wants to cause us to stand in the truth and walk in love for God's glory. Can I just say that again? It's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. He wants us to stand in the truth and walk in love for God's glory. That kind of just sums up what the Holy Spirit's role in our life is. And this whole thing of living the Christian life in a world that wants to change the faith or erase the faith or marginalize the faith. We simply cannot do this. What Paul is telling Timothy to do, we simply cannot do it without him and without the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And y'all, He will do. Because He's the one that saves us. He's the one that keeps us. And we love Him because He first loved us. And He will work in us. And we will persevere because this is the real work of God through the gospel and the Holy Spirit's work in our life. John Stott, in his treatment on this text, said something really wonderfully. He says, there is great encouragement here. And could I just stop and say, I know we assess what's going on in the world and we just want to wring our hands and say, oh, laudy, 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 what is going to happen? Could I just pull us up off of laudy, laudy, laudy for a minute and talk about God the Holy Spirit and God whose will is done? John Stott says, there is great encouragement here. Ultimately, it is God Himself who is the guarantor of the gospel. It is His responsibility to preserve it. We may see the biblical faith of the apostles of the gospel everywhere spoken against in our culture, and the apostolic message of the New Testament ridiculed. We may have to watch as increasing apostasy, meaning leaving the faith, we may have to watch as increasing apostasy in the church happens, or as a generation abandons the faith of its fathers. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God, I'm reading here, God will never allow the light of the gospel to be extinguished. Yes, He has committed it to frail and fallible creatures like us. He has placed this treasure in brittle earthenware vessels, and we must play our part in guarding and defending the truth. But in entrusting the deposit into our hands, God has never taken His hands off of it. Full stop. But entrusting, remember, hold to, follow, keep, guard. But entrusting the good deposit in our generation into our hands, God has never taken His hands off of it. He Himself is its final guardian, and He will preserve the truth that He has committed to His church. Today, I say to the church, in a postmodern, post-literary, post-biblical world, I say to the church, I say to this church, that what God the Holy Spirit is saying through this passage to us, through Paul instructing Timothy, is that we need to recover a passion for the Word of God and for sound doctrine. And we don't need to be afraid of the word doctrine. It just means teaching. And sound means healthy and whole. We need to recover a passion for the Word of God and sound doctrine so that we might live it out and that people might live. And this will be to our own enjoyment of grace and enjoyment of God, and this will be for the receiving of God's never-ending lavish love and for the giving of that love to other people. This will be for the growth of God's kingdom on earth and even through this church. And this will finally also be to conserve the apostolic franchise of truth. Once delivered to the apostles by Jesus Christ Himself, that's what it took to be an apostle, and given by the apostles to every generation of believers, the pattern of sound teaching, the good deposit, that we might conserve it, perpetuate it, and entrust it to the next generation of believers. And I'm excited about this next generation of believers right here. I want you to know that. so they can live it and give it to the world and to the generation, should the Lord tarry, that follows them. We have a part in God's plan. Let's stick with the franchise. Hold fast to the pattern of sound teaching in the faith and in the love of Jesus Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you, guard the good deposit entrusted to you by God. Let's pray. Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom else shall we go? Only you have the words of life. Lord, we know we can learn so much just by seeing the beauty of creation and mountains and oceans teach us of your glory and your wonder, but they don't teach us that Jesus died on a cross for us. And we need your word. And Lord, as believers, we need the pattern of sound doctrine. We need to understand, to be able to read your word and grasp, to be able to navigate our lives by your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, would you cause us to have a newborn love for truth this morning? But God, forgive us that so often that we talk about truth in contradistinction to mercy and love. We talk about it just as if it's an us versus them. And we forget that we were them. And without your Spirit, without your church, without your word, we would still be without you. Oh Lord, would you cause us to love the truth, bring health and wholeness to our lives by your truth? Would you help us to love it in faith and dependency upon you and in the love that is in Christ Jesus? And would you help us by faith to love? Would you, Holy Spirit, give us the power to guard that good deposit? And God, we would pray that you would raise up a new generation among us that loves your word, that loves you, that loves your kingdom. We pray that you would raise up a new generation that is more faithful than us. And they would hunger to know you by knowing your word. And Lord, we would be so thrilled when we move off the stage to even get a glimpse of what you could do through them, through the faith once delivered in a needy world. Would you do that, Lord? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.